from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's disgusting, dude.
We are your fantastic hosts for the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
Thank you, Alon. And my name's Ara.
And my name's Rich.
And you, sir, you, yeah, you know, the one listening, you are our listener. And we're glad to have you. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about our show, if you want to join in with the live discussion that I'm sure Rich is getting running on his phone right now.
Dude, these headphones are extremely loud. You got to turn me down.
It's awesome. Turn it up.
So we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about this week. I'm trying to debate internally in my brain whether or not this is going to be an incredibly interesting show or an incredibly boring show.
Would you even say it might even be a jihad?
No, that had not crossed my mind at all.
Your internal struggle, your battle inside yourself?
Isn't a jihad like a great religious struggle or something?
Yes.
It's like a religious
with form. Yourself. Or if you're an extremist, with everyone else.
Okay.
One way or the other.
Still, it hadn't crossed my mind. Moving along, there's the reason I say it could be potentially boring is because it's just a bunch of like legal stuff. But
no, we got some good stuff.
So there's this talk about Activision. We brought this up last week, right?
Legal
Activision
stuff.
And the DJ game lawsuit. There is some piece of information that I just caught a couple hours ago, or maybe an hour ago. Thought it was interesting. As I was walking out to my car today, I noticed the press release for Rock Band Lego, or Lego Rock Band, coming out, so we'll talk about that a little bit.
Oh my god.
Another crazy game. SNK is making crazy games. And then there's all this talk about piracy lately, because Sony, for whatever reason, got out from under their rock and started admitting that people pirate games on the PSP.
Yeah, we got a bunch of piracy topics, and we're going to talk about why piracy is good for the industry.
Really? This coming from a developer.
Well, yes, but also I'm sensationalizing to get people to, you know, call, listen,
yeah,
stay longer,
no,
that kind of stuff.
They should totally.
That's what
do
we
that.
Do.
The number.
Piracy is great.
Piracy is good.
Unless you steal whatever content we sell.
I approve.
But we don't sell any, so go ahead and distribute it freely. Unmodified.
You can pirate our podcast and listen to it if you wish.
Well, pirate would imply that they put it up on their own website and purported it to be theirs. That I don't want you to do.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be, I don't know, that gets into a different realm.
But it'd be funny if your website had a picture of you claiming to be Alon on it.
It'd be pretty funny.
That would be wild.
But if you like piracy, you should tell us about it.
If you want to do that, though, you could set up your website with services from Chatterbox Hosting Services at chatterboxhosting.com, right? That'd be worthwhile, right? If you want to pirate, at least give me some money by going, you know.
That'd actually be quite hysterical.
And if pirating pisses you off, or if not being able to pirate things that you once were able to pisses you off, you can call us at 866-536-1100.
Absolutely true. And we'll be around for the next, 50 minutes or so. So let's get into this. What do we want to start with? Something light?
Well, let's do this Lego thing, okay? Let's get these small things out of
there. There's two crazy games.
So,
not just Lego Rock Band.
So, what? Not just Lego Rock Band?
No, man, that SNK one is wilder.
Oh, right. Okay, no, I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just beside myself. Like, there was this rumor going around that, one of the guys who was the, designer for Rock Band kind of like let the cat out of the bag at GDC Game Developers Conference about like, yeah, we're going to make a Lego Rock Band.
I had never heard that.
And it was like, I was like, okay, like maybe, but that just sounds just too weird and bizarre. Like that will never work, because if you make Lego Rock Band, it will be Rock Band exactly, and you'll just be looking at Lego characters, which to me is like, okay, why? Right?
No, not at all. There's a
not
bunch,
at all.
Bunch of tie-ins.
There is? Okay.
So I had never thought of this. I had never heard of it until today when I checked my little emails and it said something about it.
All right.
Guess it's been on the web.
I want to see what kind of angle you can come up for this one.
But it's great because it's not just the game, right? It's the collection of music that you get. So it's more family-oriented music, right?
Yeah, so
it's not going to have any music with swears in it, at least I'm guessing.
I guess none of the music has swears in it.
But also, you can, instead of just creating your characters by, changing their hair color or whatever, they're going to be Lego characters, so you could create them from bits, right? It might have characters that you've seen in other games, like there might be the Star Wars Lego dude in the Rock Band game.
Okay, but once again,
What, it'd be way cooler just to have a stormtrooper in Rock Band.
Listen, Star Wars.
No, but listen, beyond that, have you ever seen the crazy stuff that people make with Lego?
Look.
Imagine the pack-in guitar.
It's a music game.
The pack-in guitar is shaped like it was made from thousand Lego.
I get that angle.
That's kind of cool.
I get that angle.
Huh?
Okay. I get the whole I get the whole kids thing. Okay. What's surprising me about this is that it's like they are like really just going for the jugular with every like segment of the age market. You know, they've got the flipping Beatles thing for older than the Gen Xers. They've got this flipping Lego thing for all the kids, and I don't know. It's just like Is it good? I mean, it's good, I guess, if you're selling it and making money.
Well, here's the thing. Think to yourself how they market, right? So you've got Rock Band, and you've got a bunch of downloadable content for Rock Band. So let's say one day they decide to release, a bunch of expansion songs for Rock Band or Rock Band 2 or whatever, Guitar Hero, same thing, right?
Look.
That are geared towards kids, right? So Somewhere Over the Rainbow or, okay, I don't know, okay, whatever okay. crap they
you know
want
what,
to put out.
You know what? Okay, let me put it to you this way. You know, if they actually do make accommodations, like actually change the interface and change how the game works to accommodate younger players, then I can say, okay, there is some value intrinsically in this as a product.
You mean like taking out some of the difficulty and getting a song started?
Yeah, like if they don't have like 5 rows, if they only have up to 4 rows or something.
Well, that's what easy mode's for. Like, I mean, you the game just, itself is already geared towards really
easy gameplay. We're not even in the second break yet, and I want to shut your mic off.
I'm just saying, like, it's already geared towards people that aren't good.
I don't think they should reduce the difficulty. I'm just saying, if they make some sort of accommodation to the demographic in terms of the actual gameplay, then I'll say, okay, now I understand this as a product that deserves a place intrinsically.
How much you want to bet they introduce a battle mode like Guitar Hero 3 did?
That would be crazy. No, I don't think they will. I don't think they will because I think that the Harmonix are good enough designers to understand that that's silly. And that has nothing to do with this Lego thing. But if they just...
It does because they're catering to kids.
No, you listen. If they just put it out and it's just the freaking same thing with a Lego wrapper, then that is tantamount to Spaceballs the toilet paper.
No, do you remember Dance Dance Revolution and all the expansions? It's
yes,
because
and
the
that was
downloadable songs weren't really around
yes,
for
and that
the
was,
early
and
life.
That was silly too. I guess this is
it wasn't silly. They come out with Disney Mix. You have Disney
songs.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say. Like I guess it's pretty much equivalent to that.
Right. It's just that now Rock Band has lent itself so much to just getting the songs. You get one game and then you get whatever songs you want. But here's the thing. Now they might have the songs that are more suitable for kids. And I was joking with. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, right? But there's clearly songs that are more suitable for kids. But
maybe Rafi, you know.
Well, like, no, they're keeping with the rock genre. Excuse me. They're definitely keeping with rock.
What, you're saying Rafi can't rock out?
They actually in the press release they refer to Rock Band as being providing access to all the genres of rock music. And I thought to myself, I thought rock was a genre.
Well,
how many genres of rock?
Subgenre. Come on, subgenre.
Anyway.
Come on, prog rock, classic rock.
But Rock Band certainly, like, everyone has a perception. It's all about branding and perception. We all see Rock Band as however we see it, right? And it has hit it's not so much a niche, but it's hit the market potential. Of course, more people are buying it over time, but it's not like attacking a whole new segment.
Look,
by releasing Lego, then they go to this other segment and say, hey, Rock Band is totally for you. If you were wondering to get it before, you should totally get this one. And maybe, hopefully, they'll have a swank new guitar for it. With it will come a bunch of neat songs. Now, I hope that they also make accessible all the other songs you've downloaded for Rock Band so that you could play all the songs with crazy swears and stuff and have your Lego people on the screen.
You'd love that.
Yeah. I'd assume if you get the Lego Rock Band, you'd still have access to all the other Rock Band downloadable songs because they've said that before. Like, if you buy it for Rock Band, it's available on Rock Band 1 or 2, assumably 3 or Lego or whatever.
I like how you make up words sometimes.
Assumedly.
Yeah.
I think is...
That was actually not bad. That's not bad. But all I have to say is that whoever works at Lego who got these deals going with all these flipping games and Legos...
Oh, he's making bank, dude.
Kudos to you.
But
yes.
One thing I also note, there aren't swear words in any Rock Band songs that I've ever played.
Yeah, there are.
Which ones?
Maybe there's not a lot of them. I'm making it out to be
maybe
worse
they might
than it
be download
no.
only, but I know in the game itself is rated teen, and I know for a fact there are multiple
Doesn't
songs
matter.
That are edited to remove the swear words.
Nah, there are definitely some in there.
No.
Okay, let's also get this King of Fighters thing out of the way.
Did you know there's a new King of Fighters game coming out?
There's a new King of Fighters game.
There's always a new King of Fighters game.
Let's see if Rich can guess What kind of King of Fighters game?
There's a King of Fighters game coming out. It's not a fighter.
Oh, God, no.
All right, King of Fighters, not a fighter. You guess the genre. We'll give you two chances.
I'm going to guess either a...
No, just guess one, and then we'll tell you.
Okay.
And then I'll give you a hint after you fail.
A pet simulator.
All right.
Okay, wrong. Here's
my hint. King of Fighters, traditionally on the Neo Geo, right? That's where it hails from. It's kind of old school,
right? Let's tell them what the working title is.
Not yet. It's on Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay, I got a rant for a minute, though.
I've got a good clue, and I want to know if this is a good clue,
okay,
right?
Okay.
The Neo Geo is something that sort of outlived its time. It kept making, like, old-style games even into the new millennium, right? And so it's kind of like it's new but based in old. All right,
okay.
So think of genres that were big way back when. What's the title you want to tell?
You're killing me, dude. It's King of Fighters Sky Stage.
It's a shmup?
Yeah!
Wow, you're right. All right, so...
Why would they make a King of Fighters...
That's not the question.
Not all our listeners know what a shmup is. It's
shoot 'em up. Shoot 'em up, yes.
I.e. Gradius, Life Force, Giga Wing...
Okay.
All those other games that you've probably never heard of as
okay.
well.
Okay, now obviously people who are listening can't see my screenshots, but you guys can see the screenshots I'm showing you, these guys. All right? Now... Okay, I'm just going to rant for a minute about this.
You're
this
not
stuff
a spaceship.
That pisses me off.
You're not a piece of fruit. You're actually
that's
a dude
fine.
Flying.
No, it's fine. That's okay. That's not a problem, okay?
I think
what do you
a
see
problem.
On these screens?
Bullets.
Flashies.
Fire. Let me see.
This is a crap that's pissing
you're
me off.
You're holding up a 2-inch screenshot 5 feet from my face.
Almost every single shoot 'em up that's been released in the last 5 or 6 years
uses
has
the
been,
blue and purple colors?
No. Has just been almost the exact same format. Which really, it's just, they've been getting so cookie cutter. Back in the day, back in the Genesis days, we had so much variety in shooters. There were so much different things that people have done and you can do with shooters. And one of the reasons why the genre has kind of like died mostly and has
How can you tell from two screenshots that it's the same as everyone else? Simply because it's got a circular bullet pattern?
Because no, I just know these things, all right? Look, I'm speculating, but I'm right, okay? I'm going to be right.
He's an expert.
The
on
same
the,
the same things
he
over
does have
and
experience
over.
With the Red Star, right? you did the shooting stages, right?
Yeah.
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 Right.
So I mean, I'm a huge shooter fan.
Yeah.
Right. I just wish, and this isn't necessarily even just the knock singularly on this game because we don't know what it's going to be like, but it's mostly just a reference to just most all the games that have come out with very few exceptions as of late, the past several years have been so cookie cutter. You know, for those of you guys who know what like Cave is, right? Cave's a developer that makes shooters. See, I mean, like, I swear they just change the sprites and some of the bullet patterns and they call that a game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
If they can
it's not satisfying.
If they can sell a new game by just changing graphics, isn't that what King of Fighters everything has been?
Yeah, well, I don't even want
King of Fighters 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. All right. Well, we'll be back after the break. That was quite a segment. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. So I've taken a few painkillers and I've calmed down a little bit since the end of the last segment.
Certainly good to hear. We've still got more to talk about. We've got a caller as well. Before we do that, I'm going to remind everyone about our fantastic sponsor, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Just met somebody else today, by the way, who is a graduate of UAT. UAT.edu.
Is he a game designer?
Not a game designer. Not the field that he chose.
Did he choose working at Fry's?
Well, what do I know? He may have chosen that field and not made it. I don't know. Did very well, though. You know, grade-wise.
That's good.
Anyway, it's not important. Don't even know the guy's name, in fact. Just introduced to him. Said, oh, that guy went to UAT, too. I said, oh, man, that's
Just saw him
crazy.
Behind the dumpster.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I know how it goes.
All right, so let's take John. He's called in before. Friend of the show. Been a while, John from Vegas. John, you're on with Chatterbox.
I can hear that I'm on through magic.
Fantastic. So I think some of the stuff you want to talk about is sort of in line with some of the other things we wanted to talk about too. So lay it on me. What is the topic that that you want to have us?
It was in line with the piracy. A game released last week called Demigod, which I know you haven't heard of. Has Rich, have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've been playing it a bit.
Okay, yeah, it's a knockoff of Dota or in the same genre.
Of what?
Of Dota, Defense of the Ancients. It's the really famous Warcraft 3 map that all the Korean people play.
Dota.
D-O-T-A, yeah.
Okay.
Has Continue. A song in Sweden and everything.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is well known, actually.
Yes. So they have this very unique stance on piracy, which I find very refreshing and somewhat suicidal almost, because I don't think that it's actually entirely the right stance for a game company to make, but it's definitely novel and I would still encourage it. And that this game has absolutely no digital rights management. There are no CD keys. There's no you can install this game this many times. They had a problem when they launched it last week, actually. They sold about 12,000 legitimate copies, were expecting a maximum of 50,000, but there were 120 or 130,000 people on their servers because that's how many people had pirated it the first day it was available.
Okay, so 10 times as many for those who can't add.
Yeah.
But they say that this is a very good thing for the game because they're expecting a good portion of those people to have enjoyed the game pirated so much that they're going to go now and buy the game.
So I wonder if perhaps a better move for them. How about keep off the digital rights management, but include some sort of digital rights identification? Maybe that's not even the right terminology, but have the CDs all be like keyed properly, and so that the first person, not keyed, I don't know, each one can have some sort of unique, you'd have to print up different CDs. I don't know.
No.
When you download it, they have that option, right? They give you a unique version of the game with just, you know, one encrypted, you know, data key that's built into your client, or more accurately, what they'll probably have you do is you register an account with them, very much like Steam, so you're basically buying the game through them. You can download it to any computer, and that works very well for their digital downloads, but for the you know, game you buy in a store, at GameStop, whatever, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing, and they feel that they'll just deal with the pirates, with them being on their servers, and they'll, you know, it's not a huge, you know, workload for them. It's like StarCraft or Warcraft 3. There isn't a whole lot that goes to the servers. Warcraft 3, the servers pay for itself through advertising, and they'll probably go through something similar to that. So it's, to them, it's only it's not a win-win situation, but it's a win-null situation.
But how about you have everybody register when they first sign up, and when they do, they include a key that comes with it. Including the key multiple times doesn't prevent those other people from playing, but it helps you identify who the legitimate player is and who the non-legitimate player is. It doesn't really work if the person resells the game, but so they sign up, and then just magically one day, maybe a month into it, they disable all the non-original players.
Well, when on this first day they were having such a problem with their servers crashing that basically if you bought the game in a store, you couldn't play on the same servers that people who had bought the game online, because they knew for certain that if you were playing with an online bot copy, you were a legit user. So they gave those people separate, better servers than the several thousand people or so that had bought it in a brick-and-mortar store.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's also cheaper to buy it online as well, $10 cheaper, but
How expensive is this game?
It's $50.
Or 40 online?
Or 40 online. And I wouldn't buy it online because it's through their Impulse, the Stardock Impulse, whatever, and I just wouldn't. I wouldn't do it.
It's connected to Stardock, yet has no digital rights? Isn't Stardock the place that did all like the web root kits and all that crazy stuff?
Look, they really, really love pirates. What can I say?
I'm not sure.
Am I mixing things up? I could have sworn that Stardock was basically the bane of pirates.
I think you're thinking of a different one. Stardock is their publisher.
Okay. Sure. Well, whatever. But, I don't know everything.
I think Stardock is their publisher, isn't it?
Yeah, Stardock's the publisher. I don't know about that part. But I mean, I know obviously they don't have the DRM, which is kind of cool. I like that it doesn't have DRM.
Well, there's one thing that certainly can't be denied in any case, and that's the fact that
people are playing the game.
Pirating?
Star Force.
Well, besides
is what you're
that,
thinking of, Alon.
Pirating is there's no faster way to get the word out about your game than pirating.
You think so?
Sure.
What about like a Super Bowl commercial?
Well, people know about it, right? But I mean, come on, like they can't play it on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very good advertising.
So many people pirate games.
Only if it's multiplayer.
And obviously, I understand at some point it can affect, you know, a decrease in sales. But at the same time, a lot of the people that pirate games are people that wouldn't have paid for it to begin with. They're just stealing it to play it, but they would have never rented it. They would have never bought it. But they're just one of the people that pirates it. So it's not a lost sale.
I really
also, some of the times.
Rich, I would say there's also a large portion of people who will consume more media pirated, and although they're not buying everything they're pirating, what they like they buy, and they might be buying more than they would if piracy was not an option to them.
Which I completely agree with that as well.
Or they just say they do and don't because nobody's checking.
Well, it's not even – I mean, like for me, I guess it's not even that I buy more stuff, but I only buy stuff that's good. Like if there's no options of, you know, renting, because you can't rent PC games, and it's just like, okay, well, I can spend $50 and buy this game, and I've heard it's good or I heard it's bad, this or that, I can find out if I like the game. And then when I realize I like the game, then I'll go buy it. I buy the good games.
Freely available demos, of course.
Yes, freely available demos. Or other means if they don't provide those freely available demos.
I have no idea.
Or not illegal at all whatsoever.
Now, yeah. One thing I find interesting, right, is that, you know, on Xbox Live, you can get pretty much any game you can get a demo for.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the argument that, you know, yes, I pirate in order to evaluate. Okay, so I'm
without... I would never pirate 360 games, though. There's no reason to.
Okay, but hold on. Just,
but yeah,
just let
continue.
Me talk. Let me talk here.
Sorry.
All right. So this whole, you know, without making a value judgment one way or another about whether that's moral or correct or right or not or whatever, to, you know, pirate just for the sake of...
God told me to pirate.
You know, just to see, I want to see what this game is. I don't want to buy it.
You should start a church along.
You know?
I already did.
Okay. All right. I'm losing my train of thought real fast, guys.
Without making a value judgment, you said.
On whether that's right or not,
All right, we lost you. All right, listen, we're going to continue talking more about this stuff. Thank you for the call, though, John. I appreciate it.
It's too many distractions.
Well,
you have any shout-outs to your homies?
Mention the Nintendo letter. You keep forgetting, like, every week.
I kind of stopped forgetting and just decided I didn't want to. Because the Nintendo letter was supremely boring. And I was kind of hoping you would forget, too. So thank you very much for bringing that up on the air. All right. Thanks, John, for the call. So other things we wanted to talk about.
We have another angle on the pirate thing.
No, that's what I mean. Other parts, right? So there's this whole Sony PSP piracy thing. I read articles, and I don't really see where these things initiate. I don't know where they come from, but apparently Sony decided to start talking about piracy, or somebody in Sony did, and specific to the PSP, right? PSP certainly has had a lot of piracy, and so there's the claim that it's really hurt the PSP, and sales are actually the hardware. Piracy inevitably increases hardware sales, but unfortunately for Sony, they make machines that cost them more money
to sell. Pretty much everyone does.
Not Nintendo.
Like Nintendo. Right.
Yeah. So there's this complaint that the PSP didn't do well because of piracy. And one argument might be that it's actually easier for consumers to pirate stuff on the DS, but yeah. They're certainly making money. So... anyway, I want to talk more about this, and Dave Perry, in addition,
he's got some interesting things
to say about piracy
yeah,
as well. And I know that you, given a moment, will be able to catch your breath and
one way or
have
another.
A lot more ranting about this topic. We got to go. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
And we're back again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. So we've been talking about piracy. There's this company that made a game, and it it didn't have any DRM in it, and so a bunch of people pirated it, but they could tell some of the people who bought the game weren't pirates because they bought them online. It's kind of an advantage of digital distribution.
Some.
So they let
100K.
They let those people play on a nifty speedy server. I wonder how many people bought the game in the store and then decided to return it so that they could then buy it online.
I do have to
probably
say
none.
That, you know, I mean, my case is special, but when Red Star came out, I always wished that people would pirate it as much as possible.
Yeah. That was interesting.
But that's because I don't get royalties on the game.
So. Yeah. So really, it's just a question of personal motivation.
Right. Well, I'd like to as many people as possible to know about it and to have a chance to play it.
Because then you might get another
job. Yeah.
And well, this is true. And since I don't get anything for subsequent sales of it, I don't really care how much they pay.
And we still have a hard time figuring out who does, actually.
I don't know. But it's not me.
I don't think it sells anymore. I mean, not. I mean, it's a good game. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, it nobody buys it anymore.
What do you mean anymore? I doubt they even sold more than 20,000 copies. Are you kidding me?
It's hard to even find it in the stores. But that was interesting because the ownership of the IP changed so many times. By the time it actually got released,
yeah,
you had no
mess.
Idea what company even owned it.
It was a mess. But you should go on Amazon.com and buy it anyway. It's only $20.
Yep.
You can buy it on Amazon still.
I'm just assuming.
Amazon
I bet you can get
stuff.
It for like $8 used from one of those other retailers.
I'm sure it's possible.
All right. How much do you think it is on PlaySwitch?
Who knows?
What's its value?
Come on. They have like 12 games
you
on
it. You know, Rarity Rarity makes things more valuable. So maybe in 10 years when people want to play the Red Star on the PlayStation 5 that plays PlayStation 2 games.
Right, but not only does it have to be rare, people have to know what it is.
That's
for it to have
as
any
long
value.
As one person knows what it is and wants
everyone
to buy
knows
it.
About Custer's Revenge. There weren't many of those floating around.
All right.
Right? That stuff, that's expensive.
I appreciate the attention, but
Dragon Warrior 1.
I don't think it's
going
to. Was that hard to get? I had that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go for pretty expensive.
Whatever.
Anyways.
I just found out this weekend, Aura has a mint copy of Radiant Silvergun for the Sega Saturn.
Yes, I have good games.
Every time I go to your house, I look at your games some more, and I discover some new treasure. No pun intended with that. Oh, wink, wink, hey. Because it's made by treasure, right? Get it? Get it there?
Yeah.
Cool boy?
That's good.
All right. Yeah, Radiant Silvergun, man. That's crazy.
It was an excellent game. That's one of the better shooters of all time.
Mint condition. You don't have the U.S. copy of Ikaruga, though.
No, because I have the Japanese one.
Yeah. You have a lot of Japanese games, I know.
You don't even have a U.S. GameCube, do you?
Correct.
No, he has the Panasonic Q.
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah, which doesn't even work.
No, it works. It just likes to talk back a lot.
Okay.
It talks to you?
Like an Xbox 360.
In its own way.
Okay, so continuing on with the discussion of piracy, Dave Perry had some things to say about this. Unfortunately, I actually didn't find out much about what he actually said.
Well before we get to that, let's just finish the Sony thing, right? Because I think there's a point you missed right before we went out
okay.
to break, which was that it's the way that the PSP's performance is characterized, right, is that there's so much piracy, right, that it's not only affected the success of the product, but it subsequently affected developers' interest in the product in the first place. And this I find to be quite dubious because, just like you said, Alan, well, the DS is even easier to pirate.
Yeah.
And that's a phenomenal success. And so I think that they're basically just using – there's two things that are kind of funny. One of them is that I think that they're just using – oh, it looks like we've got calls on the board. What's this? Red Star is the best game I've ever played in my life?
No. You're really changing topics. You got to remember the listeners have no idea what's going on. So for those who don't know, since none of you do, we've got a monitor in the studio that tells us who's calling and who's, you know, on hold waiting to speak with us. And it's always full, full, full of people, as you can tell from listening to the show and all the callers that we speak to. We're just very selective. Although today we don't have Norm, our normal audio guy, right? But they can just write stuff, right? They don't have to write someone who's on hold. They can just write whatever they want. And he's given us details. Red Star is $20 on Amazon, and it's ranked number 12,170.
Sweet.
In video games.
That was...
Now, I wonder how many video games are for sale.
I don't know.
12,000 is a really big number.
Yeah, but it's not as big
as
100,000, so that makes me very happy.
We're not talking about copies of a game, dude. Like, how many games are even available for the PS2 in America? Like, not even 5,000.
About 100,000.
A lot of PS2 games.
A couple thousand, and that's like the most popular system out there. The Xbox, you add in the GameCube. Like 12,000 has got to be one of the worst selling games of all time.
All right.
Rated at 3.5 stars is not horrible. I don't know if it's out of 4 or out of 5, though. I suspect it's out of 5.
It's out of 5. On Amazon.
Well, it's out of 3.
We could push that up. Yeah, we've got listeners who could go on to Amazon, first of all, and buy the game. But also, you don't have to buy it to rate it. So go on there and rate it highly, and maybe it'll be rated,
I'm sure
it
probably only has a couple stars. Reviews, so you could just like totally go on there and just 5 star.
It is a good game. All right. Well, the Chatterbox Mafia will go in there. There's only 11 ratings.
Okay.
So if everyone listening right now goes...
So we'll check back next week, and we'll see how many more ratings
there are. If we get 100 ratings on there, we will give away a copy of the... You have extra copies, right?
You know what? If we get 100 ratings, I'll give someone a copy.
Yeah.
I'll do something.
There's 11 ratings right now, and if 89 other unique usernames go on there rating it, we will give away a copy of the Red Star for PlayStation 2.
Okay, we don't know who to or why,
we'll figure
but
out the details
we'll
later.
That won't be a problem.
But what's more important is...
All right, and it will be a non-pirated version. It will be a legitimate copy of the game that will run on any PlayStation 2 that runs US.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think that the PSP is doing crappy because it's just...
It doesn't
got
have good
a
games.
Bunch of crappy games.
Which is unfortunate because the hardware itself, not bad.
Not bad, by its, I guess, right? But it's all about the
aside
games.
Aside from the whole UMD.
And so here's the interesting thing about piracy overall is that, okay, lots of people are pirating stuff all the time when they can, right? When they have that ability to.
Mm-hmm.
But if the product is good enough, it seems to do quite profitably despite any amount of pirating.
I should point out, it also all the games cost more than they do on the DS as well. And I would argue that the experience of a DS game versus a PSP game is about the same. Like, I think to myself, this is a portable gaming experience.
Right, right. I would say the same thing. And maybe Sony really misjudged that. Maybe they thought that, well, you know, maybe people are expecting a PS2 type of experience or maybe they think they're getting one, and so we're going to maybe charge the games closer to that level. Right.
Yeah. I haven't actually done a comparison, but there are some games that come out on the DS and the PSP and they're totally different. Like driving games, for instance. The DS simply isn't as powerful, right, as the PSP, and so they'll usually be much flashier, better music and all that stuff. And so there I can see a justification for a higher price, although I still think it's a bad move for the company. But other games, like puzzle games and stuff that might come out on both systems, probably not that much of a difference, and I'm curious if they come out at different prices. I really can't even think of a game that would qualify for this test, but maybe a listener can, right, and can check it out, see the retail price of, you know, Bubble Bobble on each system or something, even though that doesn't exist on both systems. That would be interesting to me, because then what's really the value in paying more? It's just a question of what the owners of each system have become accustomed to, paying $40 for a game versus $30 for a game. And I always thought PSP games were overpriced because a portable game experience is a portable game experience to me, and that's not worth nearly as much as a home gaming experience.
You got it.
I mean, that's one very small factor in... I think the much bigger factor is what you were saying, that the games just aren't that good. Like, I can't think to myself of any game that I actually want to play. There was one game, like...
There's a few good ones. But
I
want to
play on the PSP is the Chains of Olympus, the God of War game.
Crap.
And they're coming out with some sort of...
Deadhead Fred was supposed to be really good, wasn't it?
There's like a Prinny fighter game on the PSP, I think,
right? What game?
Prinny from Disgaea.
Crap. Oh, no, wait, that might be good.
It looks actually really good. It looks cool.
I didn't know what you're
saying.
Like,
you get
saying.
To play a Prinny, and like you go... It's like a platform...
A Prinny is a Disgaea character that's basically like this penguin thing. And
they have like little
like
swords, and they go, what, da, 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 da. And they're awesome.
All right, you guys lost me. But anyway, Dave Perry, he makes a point that in order to overcome the issues that come with piracy,
the scourge of pirates.
Pretty much, that's a better way of putting it. In order to overcome this problem, you need to make a game that's essentially better than the free that people get with piracy. So you need to recognize that piracy isn't just going to a website, clicking on a button, and now you have the game. Like, there's some sort of effort that goes in there. First of all, knowledge of how to torrent something or how to, you know, go into some members-only site or find someone who's already pirated it, right?
Right.
And get a copy.
Even I have limits for what I will do to pirate.
Yeah, crack things, run special crack deals, or go online and find a a serial number to plug in there, and you have to look at so many different pictures of porn that'll take you to 50 different pop-up sites before you get the serial code. But, I mean, I'm just speculating.
If you're doing that, you're going to get a virus. No, do that.
No, sometimes it's actually it's quite an ordeal to get a pirated copy
of
something.
Yeah, so my point is there's some amount of effort that goes into it. And so I think my understanding of Dave Perry's point is that make the game so good and cheap enough that people would prefer to pay for it than to go through whatever amount of effort, whether it be large or small, to pirate. Make it more convenient to buy it legitimately. Exactly. Part of that is through digital distribution, right? Because a lot of people pirate because they don't have to get off their butts.
Well, like Steam, obviously I've said how good Steam is before.
Yeah.
Steam makes it easy for me to pay for games. And I buy plenty of games on Steam.
Yeah, you just slap in mommy's credit card and then, you know, you...
use my credit card, but yeah.
Okay, whatever.
But like, I was going to go...
I'm just speaking of our listeners.
Yeah.
You know.
But even I was going to go buy Dark Athena, the new Riddick game, which I did go buy a retail copy of, but I was like, is it online that I could buy it? That'd be way easier. And I'm like, no, I gotta go to the store.
Dude, you live like a mile from a store that would sell you the game.
Yeah, I just went over to GameStop and bought it.
Yeah. So anyway, I really have to say that I find his attitude refreshing. When everyone else is complaining about, oh, the pirates are hurting our sales, this guy is the only one that's saying, what? Trying to figure out a way to actually make money, to make people want to buy a game instead of just
I'm sure behind the scenes he also whines, but he's smart enough to know that you have to find a solution, not just complain.
Yeah, like public whining, come on, it's not going to help anybody.
All right, well, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we're finally at the last segment.
Is this something you've been waiting for the whole show?
I've been waiting for this moment my entire life, Alon.
I wonder if you look more forward to driving to the station or to leaving the station.
Actually, I look most forward to pooping at home after I've driven away from the station.
Because you're always eating right before we start the show.
Yeah.
All right, well, now that you know that, remind everyone about UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, our fantastic sponsor, and keeping the show afloat. You can also go to chatterboxhosting.com if you want to bring us something. Go to our website and, click on an Amazon link and buy stuff. If you're buying gifts or just things for yourself, go through that link and then buy stuff. And, whoa, that's pretty awesome for us.
Buy 10,000 copies.
Of barely anything at all, but it's something.
You can improve ranking.
Yes, so that's our mission to everybody. Go improve the ranking of Red Star for PlayStation 2. And
all right,
by next week, if we have 100.
I don't think I've ever thought I'd say this, but this is getting a little long of the tooth even for me.
It's awesome. I want to create passion. I want people to move. They should do it. And then go play that weird demo of it that you have for the Xbox, even though it never came out. So we've got another caller. Scott from Ontario called in a few times as well, another friend of the show, who I believe uses chatterboxhosting.com. Just I'll mention it one more time, you know, because.
Yes, I do, and I'm a testimonial, too.
Really? Go.
Just kidding.
Testify. No?
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
it's good.
Yeah, that's a testimonial. It's good.
About what I was going to call about, yeah.
DRM, man.
First off,
DRM is what we were talking about.
Not that bad.
Hmm?
My call quality good?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have a new headset. Anyway,
every time he calls in, he's got a new headset. Every time!
That's when the air one broke. Anyway, so, DRM, it's kind of annoying to me that they're starting to add more and more DRM in and having to do online activation and things like that, because as it's been proven a couple times before, if they shut down the servers, your game is toast and it will never turn back on again.
That's one of my big concerns, and something we were just Rich and I were just talking about during the break as well. Because
I mean, it happened with Walmart.com and them for their music sites.
Didn't they have some solution for that?
Some of them did, some of them didn't.
But
there were several sites that went down. MSN Music went down, and Yahoo went down. Some of them just said the customers were screwed. The air ones.
Didn't other ones like unlock the music so you can just use it forever?
Some of them did. I'm not sure who. Anyway, so the problem is, apart from that, I mean, they can get around that if they really wanted to, because The major problem is you need to have write back, because you can't have a CD and the CD cannot tell, because it can't be written to, how many people it's been installed on. If you use a USB key, you can actually, if you protect memory certain ways, you can have the key itself determine how many times it should uninstall the game, because if it reaches the limit, this key will just stop acting as a drive, right? So that would be one way to get around it, but even that's kind of bad. Frankly, we should kind of move towards the more of like the street vendors type approach, where they're like, you know, grocery stores, they have the apple and fruit all on the street, and really anyone can take one and walk away if they want to, but they actually get more sales. And that's been happening too. The Napster, with the CD sales, has gone through the roof when Napster was gone, and shot right back down when Napster was shut down. It's not about the CD sales, because if it was, they would have never shut down Napster, because it was making them a lot of money. The recording industry, I should say. It's all about control, which is, frankly, I find kind of disturbing.
So here's an example of a frustrating situation. Rich got the new Riddick game, Dark Athena, recently.
Yep.
And Rich loads more operating systems than any person I've ever met in my life.
I reformat once every 3 weeks because I'm crazy.
Like, or literally. Three times every 1 week.
Yeah,
one
I reformat a lot.
And so apparently this has a limited number of installations. So he installs it on Windows 7, but it doesn't quite work. He tries it on something else, tries it on... Finally, his three installations are done when it finally works.
Yeah.
And now, Windows 7 is going to come along, and he might want to still play the game, like the real Windows 7. And he won't be able to install it again without having to go through some hassle to get additional keys, right?
Weird, because normally it goes by the number of installations per network card, but that's the end of the point.
Yeah.
I was just telling him, actually,
well,
they should check
the
MAC address.
That way, but the way they do it is they said, like, if it's the same computer and you reformat it, it considers it a new system. And so there's no way to use an installation by like uninstalling it or whatever that like EA does now on some of their games, but it's just I don't want to have to call it.
Beyond that, it's a single player game. There's no use to go online. So I think to myself, let's say I want to play this game and I don't have an internet connection, or I have a modem connection or something. Like, I have to go through a bunch of extra hassle to just play this game. Mm-hmm. Like,
but you do realize half of that is just to make sure they don't sell used, right?
I mean, I hadn't considered it.
Well,
but
the PC used market is completely done. It's not
existent. Since they started CD checking, it's not the used market just disappeared.
GameStop stopped taking PC games like 4 years ago.
Fine.
But
another thing they're worried about is people actually distributing their own games on BitTorrent and not having any publisher.
For the legitimate players, though, I'm getting back to my point and ignoring yours completely.
okay.
You take the game home, you want to play it. Let's say you don't have an internet connection, or it's being used by something else, or it's down for the moment, or you live in the woods, or whatever, right? You have to connect. And now, I know a lot of software uses a phone, like a dial-up. You can call some automated thing, and you put in your number, and it'll spit out a number to you. That's one workaround, but it's still this giant hassle that I have to, one, find a phone, call some number, put in all these codes, and waste time getting it back. And then I'm just reminded that I might want to play this game. This is my same complaint with digital distribution, that if I want to archive this game, I want to not archive, like make a copy, but just leave it around my house and then show it to my kid in 20 years, right? I'm going to want to play this, but I won't be able to because it needs to phone home somewhere, and that home won't exist in 20 years. Even if Atari does exist in 20 years, and that's kind of a long shot at this point, the chance that it's going to have the server recognizing this call is close to zero, right?
It's happened before with, like I said, a couple of the music servers.
Yeah, the recent music stuff is a great example. You lose your investment. And I consider it an investment because I'm a big game player and I want people to be able to play. So now people end up buying games again. Like, I know people who have had kids and they have the Wii, so now they buy those, you know, Super Mario Brothers and whatever. I'm like, seriously? Because you owned the game years ago. Don't you think you should just be able to break it out? Go, well, the hassle of bringing out the Nintendo and whatever. Like, in the future, it's going to be the hassle of the fact that I can't verify the game license anymore, or yeah, that it won't run on my new operating system.
Actually, that's one thing I'm a bit concerned about with that new on live thing. You're trusting your computing to the cloud. If they decide that, first off, third-party games, if they don't want to have them on their servers, they don't have to, mods will disappear entirely, because you're not going to install a mod in their server.
Well, don't worry, online, because right? It's not going to actually take off.
Yeah, on live, I would just never buy a game.
On live is for a particular segment of the population. It's not going to ever take over.
No, I know, but I mean, it's kind of like you're, that mindset, it's going back to the broadcast model of TV where it's like the one tower or the one radio tower or whatever can determine what people see, and that's, I find that absolutely ludicrous. Now I know why we're going from a free market to a broadcast market.
We're not. There's a market for all ideas. Well, for a lot of different ideas. And the question is just whether or not there's enough people interested in that to make it viable. And it doesn't concern me at all. It's fascinating, but it doesn't actually bother me. So, anyway, DRM, pain in the ass. I think that's our theme for the last 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. DRM's terrible.
All right. Do we want to run into that last topic that we mentioned earlier before we go?
Yeah, let's hit this thing and let's be done with it.
All right, Scott, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Because I think if we wait until next week, we won't care.
Yeah, exactly. We did mention this at the top of the show.
So let's stick to our schedule. That'll be good. This will be the first time ever. We're running a nice professional show here.
John trying to ruin it by reminding me I haven't talked about something I talked about 3 months ago.
So there's this game, right? It's called Scratch, some kind of DJ game, right?
Yep.
And there's been a lot of stories in the media lately about lawsuits going left and right. And it's actually rather confusing. So I'm just going to start at the top and give you guys some background on the situation. And we'll see if we can cover this all in about 4 minutes.
Before you start, I'm going to lay out the one-sentence summary. Couple of DJ games, a couple of publishers want to make DJ games, and now there's a big lawsuit.
Right.
Here's how it happened.
So there was a publisher called Genius, right? And they had an IP. Intellectual property rights to this game that was called Scratch, which is supposed to be a DJ game.
Rare.
There you go. So they contracted with 7 Studios to develop the game. Now, this was actually not the first developer of the game. There's even more backstory, but it's not relevant to this discussion. And so what happened was, so 7 Studios is making this game. Genius is the publisher. Apparently someone who works at 7 Studios was friendly with someone who works at Activision.
Yep. Activision, and, of course, owns Guitar Hero.
Right. So through one means or another, right? Now, Activision has its own interest in such games. They said, oh, yeah, we're going to make DJ Hero, right? And so they were interested in buying the intellectual property of the game Scratch. And also in buying 7 Studios.
You might ask yourself, is it because they wanted to use that to become part of DJ Hero? Or did they want to just quell it so that it wouldn't be competition to DJ Hero? Nobody knows.
The possibilities are many, right? So here's the funny thing, right? Now, 7 Studios, I believe, at least at the time, was pretty much independent, right? So they had a contract with a publisher, the publisher Genius, who didn't own 7 Studios, but they owned the game.
They own the idea.
They own the idea. And then so they were like, okay, well, Activision wanted to buy both the game and
7
Studios, right? Now, they have to buy the developer from the developer. They have to buy the game from the publisher, Genius. And Genius said, no, we don't want to sell it to you, or they couldn't come to an agreement. And they said, okay, we're going to buy the developer anyway. So they bought the developer. The developer was making a game for another publisher that they couldn't get the rights to. And then so lots and lots of lawsuits.
Contract between the developer that was making the game and the publisher that wanted the game made now breached because the game's not being made.
Right. So anyway, last thing was Activision was told that they don't have – they're interfering with the publishing of this game. They had to return all the assets and everything back to Genius. So Genius gets their stuff.
Genius is totally screwed, basically.
They're totally screwed. But then also now another developer is making the game, not 7 Studios.
They found somebody to make it?
Found someone else.
All right. And that ends our show. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next time.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.